what's bappin', sports fans? Aaron and Stefan for... I hate this team. It's not an emergency one. It's kind of just serendipitous that they re-signed Marcus Pettersson tonight. It's a fucking we're so back episode, and it's a Patreon episode. Patreon.com/I hate this team for the full one. When you get cut off halfway through, if you're listening on a free feed, on the Broke Boy feed, that's why. Before I let Stefan talk, added the premium feed to Spotify. So if you look up I Hate This Team Premium, you can just link your Spotify and your Patreon account so you don't have to use another app.
All right. Beautiful. Yeah. This is going to be a much more positive episode. I mean, it was a pretty positive episode after the trades. I guess two episodes.
Yeah.
I think also if it was after the Detroit game, it would still be fairly positive, I think.
They played well enough.
They did.
I liked the new guys. I mean, Hedl looked awesome. Drew O'Connor especially looked awesome that game.
Yeah.
Marcus Pettersson, he looked A-OK, sturdy defensively.
DPD,
good defensive,
of course.
Metrics.
But then the game last night against the Avs. Oh, my God. We are so back, like you said.
That was the most fun game of the year. And that was with a shitty first period.
Yeah. I mean, it's a low bar, obviously, but that was a genuinely very fun game. And they looked... Yeah, first period didn't look great. They looked very solid the rest of the way. And they just had, like... They had a bit of swagger.
Yeah. Which... I think it's largely due to the new guys. Just the fact that they were able to beat the Avs, who admittedly on a bit of a free fall right now.
Yeah.
I think their room got kind of shaken up when Rantanen got moved out. But to do that without Quinn Hughes is mind-boggling. And there's just so many things to kind of get excited about from that game. Just with the performance of the new players having like DPD looks like an absolute revelation.
I mean, he looks like, smarter people than us on HF boards. And there are some smart people on HF boards.
Certainly.
You know, they're saying, like, he does, the way he's playing is, like, top pairing level hockey. Obviously, huge grain of salt, very small sample size. But he's playing great, and he's got that development curve spike that you really want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 6'4", he skates well, decent offense, and he's fucking mean.
He's mean, and he like plays the game within the game so well.
Oh my God, he's mean. It's great.
Like, I remember watching I think it was Lekker Mäki's first game in the AHL.
Oh yeah, He got hit, I think, right?
Where he got hit, and DPD immediately came to protect him. And I thought DPD looked pretty good preseason in Penticton. It didn't super jump out to me like Lekker Mäki or Ratu were. Like, I thought Kudryavtsev and Minio looked a little bit better in their preseason games.
Yeah.
But he's pulled it together so much.
Oh,
everything he's done is awesome. Like, last night, when he came to defend Connor Garland from Miles Wood, who was kind of losing his mind, and then has the
wherewithal.
The kind of wherewithal. Yeah. To like not drop the gloves while Wood is and just kind of like hold him tight and fucking get in his face and piss him off to draw the extra penalty.
Really
and
good.
Something
really,
Drance
really
pointed out today that I thought was cool about that too is like DPD already went to the box right away and Wood was still fucking around and like Wood was kind of jawing at him through the penalty box and DPD didn't say anything back. He didn't even smile at him, just completely stone faced.
He's a killer.
The balls on this kid.
If
all
he's like
pitching on the wall, like it's
the
really
one,
easy
the one
to
hit
glaze
he had
him.
On was it on Logan O'Connor?
Yeah,
that huge hit. Like I haven't seen a Canuck throw a hit like that in so. Like it was a hard hit. And he's what? Is he 20?
20.
He's 20.
He's 20.
That's fucking crazy.
It's been four games, right? And
of course.
I think it is important to point out he has not played. In the defensive zone. Well, I mean, he's been in the defensive zone. Like, there's that awesome poke check that saved a goal.
That was crazy.
On that shift. But in terms of, like, zone starts, right, he has started 1.4% of his shifts in the defensive zone, which is the most favorable deployment on the team.
Okay.
It's the exact same as old Guillermo Brisebois. they're both 1.4%. Brännström 4.2%. And then actually, Friedman and Hughes 8.4 to round up the five most favorable starts.
Okay.
And in terms of percent start, he also has the most shifts in the offense, or the fourth most in the offensive zone, 11.6, which is more than Brandstrom, less than Friedman, Hronek, and Hughes. So it's going to be interesting to see him get more defensive deployment. Because yeah. I think when we thought of like DPD, we were thinking this is going to be a defensive guy because he's tall and big and mean, right?
Yeah, but not much offense, you know, very stay at home, safe, but like he can carry the puck.
He's jumped out offensively. Like he had that assist. He could have scored last night, but just like kind of got that weird puck bounce to him. His pinches have been really smart. He can make a fucking pass. He can keep the play alive on the cycle. Like, yep. I'm so excited about him. And maybe this will be a cold take when he, like, plays more, but it seems the team is in love with him, too. Like, all the interviews after the game, Tocchet seems to like him. What do you say? He's, like, a prototype of what you want a defenseman to be.
Oh, that's so good like, to hear. And, like, it's true. He's a big, mean guy who can skate, who has a bit of offense in him, and he's fucking 20 years old. And, like, if he's this good, like, for real, if he's actually this good,
mm-hmm.
our defense is, like, legitimately good. Not even next year. This year.
Yeah. Well,
like, they're doing this. Hughes didn't play yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy. Imagine yesterday with Hughes.
Here's something. So, DPD, Canucks defenders, he has the second highest shot attempts per 60, trailing only Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
He has the fourth highest shots on goal per 60.
Okay.
Trailing Hughes, Brandstrom, and surprisingly, Soucy. I know he was a positive Corsi player last night. On-ice Corsi percentage. Second best on-ice Corsi, 5-on-5, to only Quinn Hughes. he's got the best expected goals, and I know favorable deployment, and way smaller sample size than Quinn Hughes. Which, goddamn, Quinn Hughes is a 63% expected goals at 5-on-5 this year. That's fucking crazy. Man. Oh, no, never mind. That's all situations. Sorry. Disregard everything I just said. Quinn Hughes' numbers are crazy. Fuck you, money puck.
God. Because I'm just thinking about next year. You've got Hughes and Hronek. You've got Marcus Patterson. Now, locked in. You've got DPD.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got Myers as your sixth guy, I guess. You've got Villander coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a really good decor. And, like, you can tell how much better, like, the offense plays so much better because they have guys in the back who can actually make a pass and move the puck.
Yeah.
It's so straightforward. It's so simple. But, like, going from Desharnais and Juulsen to like players who can move the puck, it's night and day. It really is a different team. Everyone just seems happier, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe part of that is like the drama's kind of over.
Of course,
now it seems.
Yeah,
I do wonder when Hughes is healthy, right?
Yeah,
and maybe this is why they want to move on from Carson Soucy. But will we see DPD come out of the lineup despite how well he's performed over his first four games? Because it's kind of just the old dinosaur way to do things is you keep Soucy and Forbert in there. Because if you take him out, or if you take one of those guys out, that's one less penalty killer because DPD isn't killing penalties yet. You'd have Hronek. I guess you'd have Hronek, Myers, Marcus Pettersson, and whichever one stays in, be it Soucy or Forbert. And then that gets me thinking to next season as well, right? Like, I think our fan casting defense for next year, assuming no ads or whatever, would be like Hughes, Hronek, Marcus Pettersson, Villander, DPD, and Myers, right?
That's great. That's perfect.
And then maybe you trade Soucy, maybe you don't. Maybe take in some other seventh defenseman. Maybe you're cycling out the kids. It really depends on how Villander looks, right? Like, he's got to earn his spot, obviously. Maybe he starts in the AHL. I kind of think it's unlikely that they want to have two rookie defenders, especially with that penalty kill thing I just said, right? Because that would mean one of Hughes, DPD, or Villander is going to be on the PK.
Yeah, but, I mean, DPD, I think, would probably be fine at it, right? Like, I think also if you give him, like, half this season, or like a little less than half, but then if they make the playoffs and he's playing in the playoffs, he comes in next year, he's got the experience already, right?
Yeah, like that's why I really want to see him not come. Well, I mean, there's a couple reasons. Like, I just think he's the best option to win right now.
Yes.
Yeah. But I want them to have a good long look at him so they can decide what to do going into next year.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord knows there'll be other injuries too. Like, Forbert seems to like he can't go 5 minutes without getting hurt out there. I kind of find the Soucy trade interesting for that reason, right? Like, do they think that they have a lot coming up and this is just some good money to save and that's why we want to get rid of him? And also, I mean, just look at Soucy's numbers from this season. And
I mean, he's been
on a previous show.
He's been
on
rough.
Two
he's,
of the three worst defensive pairings.
He's been
league.
A healthy scratch for 2 games in a row now.
No, he played last night.
No, he did
he
play
was
last
with
night.
DPD, and I thought
right. Yeah.
They looked all right.
Yeah, but he was a healthy scratch against Detroit, and
was no,
it
I
just,
think he was only a healthy scratch for that one game.
Okay, yeah. Which you know maybe that'll reset him, but it does sound like they're trying to trade him. It also sounds like it's gonna be tough to trade him because he likes it out here and has his family out here,
and it's like a full no trade. Yeah,
yeah. So.
So I guess you have to like we'll keep see. Healthy scratching him, but that might mean more. How does this make any fucking sense? So Soucy and DPD mm-hmm. were on a pair together last night, right?
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking I'd be able to make this point of like, oh, DPD did the impossible. He made Carson Soucy get a positive shot share. But that's not true. Soucy was outshot 3-2 at 5-on-5, and DPD was even at 6-6.
Hmm. Did he wait? What?
And they played the same amount of minutes. Actually, no, that's wrong. DPD played 40 more seconds than Carson Soucy last night, which I think kind of tells you at 5-on-5. Kind of tells you how they feel about. He also played more total. Just period.
DPD is like actually this good, that just like changes so much for this team. Like obviously, it's. They have to go for it because of the Quinn Hughes contract. But if you have a player who's that good making that little money, like that's what the Canucks needed in 2011, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, the Jim Benning era, that we had that in the Jim Benning era. We just had a bunch of shit surrounding it, right?
Yeah.
And now we have good players making big money on big contracts. And now is the time you want to surround them with young players making next to no money. And that's what we have. And it's great. I mean, Lekker Mackey's going to come up next year, probably. Villander, like you mentioned, DPD. Like, if we have those three contributing next year, look out.
If Villander can be this good, which, I mean, I'm not even convinced that he necessarily will be, though, like, I liked what I saw from him at the World Juniors. And
yeah.
Like, it seems like he has an NHL skill set. But to assume that, because they were the same draft class, right? Or is, no, Lekker Mackey.
Villander was 2023.
Yeah,
because he was the
DPD
draft.
Was the Lekker
DPD was 2022. Year. Yeah,
right. So he's a year younger. Even
that draft year is looking good, just based on those two guys.
Yeah, especially when you consider the Canucks didn't have a player in the NHL that they drafted for like the two previous drafts before that, and then it's like this season, blam, blam, you got two.
Who else did they get there? And they got Kudryavtsev in the seventh round.
He could give you games too.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And Jackson Dorrington as well.
This must be funny if you're like not a Canucks fan listening to us just glaze this kid right now, but you really have to understand the just complete dearth of defenders that this club has drafted and developed on either side, man. Like obviously Quinn Hughes phenomenal, but before that, Kevin Bieksa,
yeah.
I guess Chris
Edler. Tanev was undrafted, but they developed him.
Yeah, they developed him.
I'm looking at the Ulevi draft.
Don't do that, man.
No, I know. But Rodrigo Abels did score a goal with Philly the other day.
Oh.
He is now halfway to Olli Ulevi's NHL goal total in his career.
Let's go.
And he's doing it in 7 games. It took Ulevi 41 games to score 2 goals.
It's crazy Ulevi actually played that many games in the
It's also crazy
NHL.
That, do you know how many assists he had?
Hmm.
He had 2 goals in 41 career games.
Right. Do you want me to guess?
Guess.
5.
1.
Ah! You're right, Noah Juulsen out there.
Isn't that crazy? God damn. Fuck, what a bad draft pick that was. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. That is a cold-ass take that we had last year. Like, oh, yeah, let Myers walk. You can have Noah Juulsen perform in a third-pairing role. He's proved himself as an NHL player. Yeah. No. Stinky.
We were wrong about
that. I won't listen to any, like, rehabilitation of Juulsen's, like, image as well. Like, one, watch the games or look at the stats. They're both fucking terrible.
Yeah.
He stinks. Now, here's something on the DPD Love Fest, right?
Yeah.
I heard some comparisons going on today in Canucks land. There was, well, first people comparing him to Edler. Edler was more of a dynamic puck guy, and yes, he threw hits, but I think that's different. I don't really see them as comps. I do like the Matthias Olin idea because, like, big, some offense. Kind of mean.
The thing with Oland is that before his eye injury, he was tracking to be, like, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was playing, I mean, if people don't know this, he was playing with essentially, like, 30% vision in one eye.
That's crazy.
So he was, like, almost blind in one eye and had a great career and was, like, he was a top pairing defenseman. He was so good.
Oh, yeah. No, I loved him as a kid. When I was, like, playing soccer when I was 8 years old, I made sure I was number two because I loved Olin so much, right? But I don't know how good of an analyst I am now, but I especially wasn't good at 8 years old, right? So I'll have a hard time, like, comparing them directly, especially when they broke in and shit.
Yeah.
Drantz brought up, he hits it, like, his 99th percentile, like, he is the man. DPD comp would be Matthias Ekholm, which is interesting.
I saw a few people on HF boards making that comparison too, which would be, I mean, that would be fucking incredible.
Here's mine that I haven't seen yet.
Okay.
Rasmus Anderson.
Ooh.
They're about the same size. DPD is like a couple inches taller.
He was a second-round pick, right?
Second-round pick.
That was in the Sven Berchi trade.
Canucks pick. Yep. Yeah. Or it was the Granlund one.
Oh, maybe. Was it the Granlund one? I think it was the Berchi one.
I think we got an errors and omissions when I said it was Berchi before. Which
oh, maybe. You could be right.
Why.
Let's see. Rasmus Anderson. Let's see right now. Okay. He was drafted 53rd overall in the 2015 NHL entry draft.
So Canucks second round pick in 2015 was?
Okay, let's see. Report, Canucks trade second round pick. What second round pick was it?
Have you played pick six from DraftKings? What are you waiting for? You better get on it. It's Super Bowl 59, the last time to play NFL pick six this season. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Play for better payouts on Pick 6. It's super easy to get started. Select two or more players, choose if they'll have more or less of a stat like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. And DraftKings is making it even sweeter for the first-timers! New Pick 6 customers play $5 to get $59 in Pick 6 credits. Win more cash with Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5 and get $59 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18+. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-winnable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Oh my God! Come on, Canucks Army! Come on, this is Drantz for Canucks Army 9 years ago.
Right.
It was Vancouver's second round draft pick in 2015, so it was that pick.
The Berchi one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fuck me.
Because the Granlund deal, the Granlund deal was Shinkarik.
Right. Yeah. Anyways, I liked the Bershti trade at the time, if I'm being honest.
I thought that was, yeah, it was an okay. I mean, it was a, not to re-litigate things, but it was another like age gap thing.
Yeah.
Whereas like now is the time when you want to be doing kind of age gap stuff with your strategy. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, back to Rasmus Anderson. Mm-hmm. Mean can hit. Rasmus Anderson seems like more of a shot blocker. We obviously don't have a big sample size with DPD. But the thing that I found really compelling was that they had like identical AHL points per game at the same age. And then Rasmus broke into the NHL, played like 10 games and had like an assist or two, and then went back to play for the Stockton Heat, put up even better numbers. He was like almost, I think, 0.7 points per game or something. And then like came up and played with the big club for good. But both of them producing like half a point per game at age 20 as defenders in the AHL. And then both came and played NHL games then. So
that's a good comparison. I mean, that's great because we've talked about him as a trade target for a long time.
I know, right? It's like, oh, can you have him making fucking league minimum for 3 years at the NHL level?
You don't really pay
anything to get him?
Exactly. I mean, obviously, we don't want to get too far over our skis with DPD.
Too late.
I know. It's really hard not to. Marcus Pettersson, known quantity. We know what we got. He's a good top four D-man. So we've got him. It's just very nice to not have to worry about, okay, are we trading for a defenseman now? And it's kind of nice to be like, we really only need to trade for a top six center at this point, and maybe a scoring winger, right?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want more punch in the top six. I think that's the biggest need right now. I mean, Hedl's look great. Like, my notes from yesterday, it says Hedl fucking rules. Like, he played 20 minutes. He played more than EP40 last night.
I love the way he played. I mean, he took a bad hit from Middleton, who's a very dirty player. Mm-hmm. And I was a little worried there for a second, but he bounced right back up. Mm-hmm. But he does play that style where he does... I mean, Rangers fans weren't lying. He goes into dirty areas, right?
Like, yeah.
And he carries the puck. Did he have, like, 6 zone entries in the first period or something I saw?
Something crazy like that.
He looks great. This is a trade where, I mean, obviously Miller is racking up points in New York, but I think both teams are kind of happy with the deal right now. And we haven't even seen Mancini play yet.
I don't know if we'll get a chance to now.
Well, you might if they trade Soucy.
That's true. I think they probably want to blood him a bit more, just like kind of given like where he's at or whatever. But I guess we should talk about the Marcus Pettersson
new contract.
Yeah. I want to do that in the free bit for our non-Patreon listeners. I mean, it's good. I'm surprised. Like, I thought that he could bend them over a barrel if he wanted to because they gave up a first-round pick to get him. Clearly, they want to keep him, right? So the Canucks kind of put themselves between a rock and a hard place with that contract. I assumed... Like,
apparently
I thought
not.
It was going to be $6 million. I thought it was going to be six if we were lucky, probably like 6.25, maybe even up to 6.5. And I would have been fine with like that, right? But 6 years, $5.5 million, no move clause for the first three, limited 15 team no trade clause in the last 3 years. And it's also bonus heavy, so it's hard to buy out. But man's only 28 right now. I think he turns 29 later this year. So he'll be 35 by the time that contract ends.
Yeah.
But as a percentage of the cap, that's going to be nothing if it goes up the way that they projected it to.
I mean, as Tim posted in the Discord, let me bring this up.
Hit that up on your bingo cards.
Yeah,
I believe this is from an HF Boards post, too. So
I think it is an HF Boards
post.
For
your listening pleasure, we are reading from our Discord a screenshot from a message board.
Yes. But... HF Boards, Canucks, some smart posters on there, as we've said.
That's right.
Great deal. To put this in context, this is the equivalent to a $4.7 million deal when Myers signed his 6x6, or a $3.5 million deal when Ham Hughes got 4.5 times 6. So, I'm very, very happy with that deal.
Yeah, no, that's great. Like, it's less money than the Myers deal when the Myers deal was signed, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not the first person to point this out. In fact, I was making dinner when I saw this. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And like went back and continued making my shit. And I was just thinking about it. I was like, oh man, this is Almost like the exact deal they offered Zadorov, so we got Marcus Pettersson instead. What an astute observation by me. And then I looked at Twitter afterwards, and there's like everyone's all these fucking arguments. Everyone's fucking saying that. It was obvious fucking observation in the world. But it's true. And huge Zadorov nut hugger over here, right? Sure, I really wanted them to retain him, love him, seemed like a great guy. I kind of wonder if like things in the room would have gotten as bad because he seemed like a pretty good leader dude in there. But
Pettersson seems like a contract
different charts and graphs and stuff. It seems like Pettersson's better. And I mean, we've only seen him for three games, but he's come as advertised.
He's so, it's just like, I feel very comfortable with him on the ice, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he makes
a smart play. I really like it a lot.
And I've started to notice what I've heard about like the him taking damage a lot.
Yes.
And also the falling down on rush defense thing. Like he does the Myers. They're like, we probably got the top two guys that like to lie down defending the rush on our team, which I'm sure that's going to be annoying eventually, but nevertheless. it's good. I'm psyched. It makes like that trade make way more sense now. Like, I would like to see them re-sign Logan O'Connor as well.
Drew O'Connor, but yes.
Yeah, Logan O'Connor.
Yeah,
yeah,
There were three Pettersons on the ice last night and two O'Connors.
Yeah, and then a whole bunch of guys with Wood in their name.
Yeah, and O'Connor scored last night on an empty net, but assisted by Hedl as well. So
Did Hedl get the apple?
I believe he did. So I think Hedl has 2 points in two games with the.
It's pretty telling that they're both out there for that.
Man, when Hedl scored that goal against Detroit, I was so pumped up, and his celebration was so sick, and just like he's happy to be here, you know, like it's so nice. Look, again, Miller is like tearing it up for the Rangers, as we kind of assumed. We said it was going to happen.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's in a better spot now, right? Like, it makes sense. Like, he was never going to be that player here, though.
No, that was never going to happen here again, obviously. And it does, very, very early returns. It is trending towards a trade that both teams are happy with for now. Check back in 2 years when Miller is, you know, he'll be 34 or 35 at that point. But
I mean, but from the Rangers' perspective, right? Like, they've got a lot of old bastards on that team.
Yes.
And it's not like the Rangers are ever going to suffer to, like, try and attract talent there.
No.
Young free agents are always going to want to play at MSG. They seem to have been pretty ruthless about, like, how they handled Trouba and how they handled, what's his ass that's in San Jose now.
Now, I would almost argue
Barclay
that,
Goudreau.
To an extent, the fact that all free agents want to play in New York can be kind of a problem for them, too. Because it means you are sort of likelier to sign a lot of guys to bad deals, which we have seen in the past.
But then you also get Adam Fox for free, right?
Exactly. So it does kind of balance out.
And like with the cap going up, they're going to be a team that will always spend to the max.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to be like a Winnipeg or a fucking Sens, maybe, who knows, right? Like a smaller market team that's like, I don't know if I want to spend $130 million. Like, they're always going to do it.
Yeah.
And like another thing I've seen pointed out this week is like Miller's kind of defied the odds in his career to this point. Like, the fact that he became this like defensive shutdown center, and I mean, how much of that was deployment with Quinn Hughes and you know, a 20% on ice shooting percentage or whatever it was last year for him. But even then, right, to do that at 31 when you were just like a good playmaking winger before, that's bizarre, right? That should be happening when you're 26.
He blew up. His career is like, you know, his first couple years, 4 points in 26 games. 6 points in 30 games, 23 points in 58 games. Like, nothing crazy, right?
Yeah.
And then 43 points in 82 games, 56 in 82. So that he started to get, but like, you know, he started out pretty slow his first three or so years, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, man. You wouldn't expect that guy to eventually get 103 points. I do think that some of the calls of like, do we retire his number or just does he get Ring of Honor is fucking absurd. Like,
he
not wasn't here long enough.
Certainly left, not here long enough, left under bad circumstances, not really a ton of success overall.
But Stefan, second all-time in points per game for the Canucks, or the only Canuck, yeah, I guess it'd be second place and the only Canuck besides Pavel Bure to be over a point per game. But that's because he came here when NHL scoring skyrocketed, right?
Yeah.
And you could make the argument that it's like, well, why is Naslund's number retired? To which I'd say, yeah, good point, but he played when I was a kid, so.
Well, and also, he was the captain.
For a long time.
You know, the West Coast Express was like a good time to be a Canucks fan. Well, as far as being a Canucks fan,
yeah, I mean, it's relative, right? But yeah,
you know, he almost won the scoring race, right?
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I think Naslund has more of a claim to having his number retired than Miller.
He was electrified. Like, there is a very good argument to be made that he was like the best player in the NHL at
that
point.
He was unreal
between like him and Jerome McGinley, right? So
yeah, I mean, it's not quite the same thing, but it would be like retiring or putting Bertuzzi's number in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
not quite to the same extent, but it's a similar sort of. Okay.
Like, yeah. JT didn't do any crimes that we know of.
No, he didn't break anyone's neck, but
similar
sort of
it.
Kind of left the team under similar circumstances where very moody, very mopey. Bertuzzi sucked ass his last year here, right? Last couple of years.
So what you're saying is Philip Hedl is the new Roberto Luongo.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
My heart goes out to my Rangers homies because I think all the smart ones have been saying they wanted to see more Hedl forever.
Yeah.
And they just wouldn't give him the power play time, wouldn't give him the deployment. You had Zibanejad kind of sucking ass at center and Hedl not getting this opportunity. And then he gets traded, immediately gets opportunity, and is looking way better for it. Like, Tocchet today was like, oh, yeah, we had to get him on power play one because of his shot and blah, blah. Like, yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. He looks like Marty Natchez out there. He looked more like Marty Natchez last night than Marty Natchez looked like Marty Natchez.
Just having a guy who will, like, skate with the puck and, like, go to the net and carry the puck. It's so refreshing. I'm so excited for tomorrow's game. I mean, the game against Toronto on the weekend is going to be great, obviously. But San Jose tomorrow? San Jose, look, the fun young team. Do you know who their second line center was yesterday?
Who?
Let me look this up. Okay, hold on. I actually have to look up his first name because I just see his last name and I don't know what his first name is.
Okay, so it wasn't Will Smith or Barclay Goudreau.
No. It was Andrew Podorolski.
Okay.
He's 31 years old.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. He got two games with Carolina back in 2016-17. Two games again with Carolina in 21-22. Two games with the Kraken in 23-24. And he has one game with the San Jose Sharks this year.
Okay.
Like, the definition of a journeyman. He was their second-line center yesterday.
Damn. Well, good for him. That is a glow-up.
But that's like 2016 Benning-era Canucks level bad.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, we know how bad the Sharks are.
But this
is a game where, like, the Canucks should feast on these guys tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, and they're without Granlund, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't get that trade at all for Dallas. Doesn't make no goddamn sense. Granlund's numbers are juiced because he's playing a ton of power play that he won't in Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, not like there's a ton of centers out there, but I don't really think he's going to step into a bottom six role and, like, be the same guy. He was a cap dump from Pittsburgh. And then I guess they got Mr. Game 7 and Cody Ceci, but they used up like all of their spare cap space on spare parts.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure I get that either. I definitely, I mean, biased, obviously, but I really like our trade a lot.
Oh, so speaking of controlled possession, carrying the puck and being fast, I want to introduce a new segment, and it's, is EP40 good yet? And
okay.
No.
Nope. Not yet.
Not this week. Moving on.